Today's podcast is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Podgo. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co. at podgo.co. And be sure to add our podcast, Four Quarters with Josh McKinney, in the How Did You Hear About Podgo section of the application. Today's episode is also brought to you by Fanatics. Fanatics is the world's largest collection of official fan gear from all the leagues, teams, and players you love. If you enjoy our show and are looking to buy a new jersey, sweatshirt, or hat, you can support us by going to podgo.co/fanatics and getting 25% off your next order. That's podgo.co/fanatics. Fanatics, officially licensed everything. Hello and welcome to episode 31 of Four Quarters with Josh McKinney. We took a four-week break and are back with you for the first week here in 2021 and have a great show lined up for you today. First up, we're going to have the return of This Day in Sports History. And after that, Fearless Forecast is back as I make my predictions for the NFL playoff games. The first round of the playoffs is this Saturday and Sunday, 6 games in total, so I'll have my picks for those. After that, I'm going to be joined by my wife, Christine, for the final two segments, the first of which will be Full Court Press. We're just going to briefly give our thoughts on the difficult year that was 2020, but look ahead and hope for more positive things in 2021 and kind of a little bit about what you can expect here on the podcast. Finally, we're going to have Ranky Panky, a fan favorite segment where we rank our top 5 favorite Jim Carrey movies. That's what we've got for you today on Four Quarters with Josh McKinney, so stay with us. Coming up first, we've got This Day in Sports History. For our first event on This Day in Sports History, we go all the way back to January 6, 1957. When golfer Nancy Lopez was born in Torrance, California. A 1987 World Golf Hall of Fame inductee, Lopez won 48 LPGA Tour events during her career, which ranks 7th all-time behind 6 other Hall of Famers. Kathy Whitworth with 88, Mickey Wright with 82, Annika Sorenstam with 72, Louise Suggs with 61, Patty Berg with 60, and Betsy Rawls with 55. The 1978 LPGA Tour Rookie of the Year, Nancy Lopez's first professional win, came in the Bent Tree Classic Championship on April 27, 1997. Lopez also won 3 major tournaments, including the 1978 LPGA Championship, the 1985 LPGA Championship, and the 1989 LPGA Championship. She also finished 2nd or tied for 2nd 4 times in the U.S. Women's Open and 3 times in the Canadian Women's Open. Lopez was twice named the AP Female Athlete of the Year, doing so in 1978 and 1985, and was a 4-time LPGA Tour Player of the Year and a 3-time LPGA Tour Money Winner. Next up, we go to January 6, 1976, when American media mogul Ted Turner purchased Major League Baseball's Atlanta Braves for $12 million. Also the founder of TV stations CNN and TBS, as well as the former owner of the Atlanta Hawks and World Championship Wrestling, Ted Turner was the Braves' owner from 1976 to 2007, at which point they were sold to Liberty Media. The Braves won 15 division titles during Turner's tenure and reached the World Series on 5 occasions, winning the 3rd World Series title in franchise history and the 1st since moving to Atlanta in the mid-1960s in 1995. The Braves posted 18 winning seasons in Turner's 31 years as team owner and were home to several individual award winners, including Most Valuable Players Dale Murphy, Terry Pendleton, and Chipper Jones. Cy Young Award winners Tom Glavine, Greg Maddux, and John Smoltz. And Rookies of the Year, Bob Horner, David Justice, and Rafael Furcal. They also had a multiple-time Manager of the Year in Bobby Cox during Turner's tenure. Next up, we move ahead to January 6, 1980, when the Philadelphia Flyers set an NHL record of 35 straight games without a loss, recording 25 wins and 10 ties between October 14, 1979 and January 6, 1980. Following their 35-game streak without a defeat, the Flyers were 26-1-10 after a 4-2 road victory over the Buffalo Sabres. Philadelphia ended the 1979-80 season with a 48-12-20 record and ultimately lost in the Stanley Cup Finals to the New York Islanders in 6 games, falling 5-4 in overtime in the deciding contest. Founded in 1967, Philadelphia won Stanley Cup titles in 1974 and 1975 and have also been to the Stanley Cup Finals 6 other times. In 1976, 1980, 1985, 1987, 1997, and 2010. The Flyers have also won 16 division championships and made 40 playoff appearances in 52 seasons. Our last item on this week's This Day in Sports History comes from January 6, 1994, when United States figure skater Nancy Kerrigan was clubbed on the right knee by a male assailant during a practice session for that year's U.S. Figure Skating Championships in Detroit. The man was later determined to have been hired by fellow U.S. figure skater Tonya Harding's then husband and his friend to injure Kerrigan and take her out of the event, although Kerrigan still ended up making the team and winning the championships in Detroit to earn a spot on the U.S. Olympic team. Harding maintains to this day that she had nothing to do with the attack, which resulted in jail time for her ex-husband and his friend, as well as Harding herself being banned for life from the U.S. Figure Skating Association. In 2017, a movie called I, Tonya was released, starring Margot Robbie in the titular role, and the film was done in a mockumentary style that depicted Harding's life, specifically her connection to the attack on Nancy Kerrigan. That's it for this day in sports history. Now let's head in to Fearless Forecast. Okay, so here we go. NFL Wild Card Weekend is coming up this Saturday and Sunday. 3 games each day kicking off the playoffs. Now, if you've been following me on Twitter, I've been making my Fearless Forecast predictions throughout the season. Sometimes I would make the picks on the show. Other times I would make it on Twitter, and so obviously we've been off for 4 weeks, so I've been continuing that on Twitter. I finished the regular season with a record of 173-82 and a dazzling 15-1 finish in week 17. Very excited about that. The only game I predicted incorrectly was I had the Arizona Cardinals defeating the Los Angeles Rams, but the Rams were able to win that game. NFC West, a difficult division to predict, but that was the only game I got wrong. Finished the season, like I said, 173-82, heading into the playoffs. 6 games this weekend, as I mentioned. We'll start off on Saturday. We'll go in order of the games throughout the weekend. The first one, we got a good one. Indianapolis Colts travel to Buffalo to take on the Bills, who are the number 2 seed in the AFC. And I'm going to rock with the Buffalo Bills at home. Tough to play there. Colder temperatures for other teams. Phillip Rivers is an aging quarterback, still capable of getting it done. The Colts are capable of beating any team in the conference on a good day. I don't think this is a good day for them. Not saying it's going to be a blowout, but I do think the Bills come through. Josh Allen deserves to be in the top 3 to 5 in the MVP voting, there along with guys like Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers and Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City Chiefs. But I'm going to rock with the Bills at home. They return to the playoffs with a victory. Next up, we've got the Los Angeles Rams traveling to Seattle to take on the Seahawks. The NFC West is extremely difficult to predict. Any team in that division, which may be the best in football, it's up there with the AFC North to me this season in how difficult that division is and how good it is from top to bottom. And the Rams and Seahawks split their season series with each team winning at home. For that reason, I'm going to take the Seahawks at home. The Rams quarterback situation is a little murky right now with Jared Goff dealing with a late season injury. And I just trust Russell Wilson more. And that's the only reason. I like the Rams defense much better. They've got one of the best units in the NFL. So it's not going to be easy by any stretch. And personally would love to see the Rams pull it off. But I think the Seahawks win a close one at home behind Russell Wilson. Last game on Saturday is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers traveling to the Washington football team, who won the NFC East with a record of 7-9. But I do have to say, the Washington team to start off 2-7 and end up making the playoffs, regardless of their record, is a great accomplishment. They have a solid defense. I'm very happy for Ron Rivera, formerly of the Carolina Panthers, what he's overcome, what Alex Smith, the quarterback for Washington, has overcome. Comeback player of the year, without a doubt, this year in the NFL. But you can't bet against Tom Brady. I don't care where you're playing the game. This is the playoffs. He is 43 years old, yes, but the weapons he has on offense and this Buccaneers team is very dangerous coming in as a wild card team, but you can't go against Tom Brady, who, in my opinion, the greatest quarterback of all time, certainly one of the greatest, and has more Super Bowl wins than any other quarterback in NFL history. So I can't bet against that. Would love to see Washington keep it close, but I think the Buccaneers are the first road team to win on Wild Card Weekend. After that, we move to Sunday, the early game. The Baltimore Ravens traveling to the Tennessee Titans. Now, last year, we saw the Titans as the underdog defeat the Ravens, and Lamar Jackson has yet to get a playoff victory. This is a really tough one to call because both of these teams have been kind of hot and cold throughout the year. Derrick Henry is still with Tennessee. He had a phenomenal playoffs last year, one of the best running backs in the NFL. But like I said, both of these teams up and down throughout the season, it's hard to predict. I'm just going to go with the home team for this one, Tennessee. Even though I think this one, probably the hardest one to call throughout the weekend. Could go either way. I think the AFC is stronger than the NFC this season. And I'm just going to go with the home team and the Titans beating the Ravens at home. After that, we've got the Chicago Bears visiting the New Orleans Saints. The Bears snuck into the playoffs even though they lost their final game to fall to 8-8. Courtesy of the Rams beating the Arizona Cardinals, which was the one game, like I said, that I predicted wrong. I thought the Cardinals would sneak into the playoffs. They were my team to watch there in the NFC West this year and started off hot but ended very cold. So the Bears sneak in, but we know the Bears' quarterback issues. We know their defense is one of the best in the league. Could keep them close. I mean, they lost to the Saints by only 3 points in overtime earlier this year, but this may be the swan song for Drew Brees, it sounds like, and I think he gets a playoff win. Not picking the Saints to go to the Super Bowl, not saying that. Brees has certainly lost something, but is still a great quarterback, a great leader, and overall has some phenomenal weapons on the ground, through the air, and they like to run the ball a lot more now. I know they do have some question marks at running back, but destroyed my Carolina Panthers in Week 17, and they're going to beat the Bears, whether it's close, blowout, don't know, but the Saints win at home. Final game matches a pair of AFC North teams that just met in the final week of the regular season this past Sunday. The Cleveland Browns return to the playoffs for the first time in 19 seasons. They travel to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who were the final undefeated team in the NFL, seemed poised to be that number one seed, faltered down the stretch, end up being the number three seed behind the Bills and the Chiefs, who are the defending Super Bowl champions, of course. And even though the Browns won by 2 points this past Sunday, the Steelers won the first meeting this season. The Steelers didn't start Ben Roethlisberger, rested some other players, and I think the Steelers win this one at home, which means I think 5 of the 6 home teams win this weekend and advance to the next round of the playoffs, where the Green Bay Packers, the number one seed in the NFC, and the number one seed in the AFC, the Kansas City Chiefs, will join them second week of the playoffs. But those are my winners: Bills, Seahawks, Buccaneers, Titans, Saints, and Steelers. Should be some excellent games, though, included in there. Some of these are hard to call, could go either way. And you never know, it's a new season. The slates are wiped clean for the playoffs, but those are my picks for Wild Card Weekend Fearless Forecast, which we're going to do throughout the month leading up to the Super Bowl. That's going to do it for this part of the show. Stick around, folks. Got a short ad coming up. My wife, Christine, will join me for the remainder of the show. And after this ad, we've got Full Court Press coming at you. Do you struggle to find the time and energy to consistently eat healthy? Well, you're not alone, and there is a solution. Introducing Factor, the all-in-one meal delivery service that preps, cooks, and delivers fresh, never frozen, fully prepared meals directly to your door weekly. With Factor, every meal is designed by dietitians and handcrafted by world-class chefs, keeping your taste buds happy and your waistline trim. What's more, the menu changes every week, so you never lose interest in eating healthy. Right now, Factor is offering listeners of the Four Quarters with Josh McKinney podcast $50 off over their first 2 weeks. Just go to factor75.com, pick your meals, and use code podcast50 at checkout to claim this limited time offer. That's factor75.com, code podcast50. Okay, so I am now being joined by a regular guest of the show, a regular contributor, obviously, behind the scenes, my wife, Christine. Thanks for joining me here today on Four Quarters with Josh McKinney as we kick off 2021.
Thanks.
The first thing I want to do is a segment called Full Court Press. Now, anyone who's listened to the show before knows that usually on Full Court Press, it's me, and I'm just giving my unfiltered opinions about an event in the world of sports or professional wrestling or a certain athlete or team or just something, and just focusing in on that one event. Today, I thought we would, first of all, just address the fact that 2020 was a difficult year for a lot of people. Obviously, with the pandemic continuing, people wearing masks, the virus has disrupted a lot of plans for people, and that goes from sporting events to concerts, award shows,
vacations, family events.
Yeah, exactly. You know, family events were much different even for us this year and impacted by that. So difficult. I should say last year they were impacted. Now, because we are in 2021, have celebrated a new year, and people are hoping that it's going to be an easier year, a better year, a return to more normalcy. I will say, you know, we lost a lot of celebrities last year. Kobe Bryant, the first one that really impacted a lot of people back in January. Chadwick Boseman in the middle of the year, star of Black Panther and other great films. Obviously, he kept his cancer diagnosis from the public. Nobody knew, not even his co-stars, that he was dealing with this for several years and was going to visit sick kids in the hospital while being sick himself. I can't imagine how he was able to do the things he did and play, you know, the powerful figures he played on screen while dealing with so much off screen. And, you know, he's a South Carolina guy, fairly close to us, obviously being in North Carolina. And so, hate that we lost him. And Kobe and the other celebrities, you know, those were two of the younger guys that we lost this year. Also recently, the wrestler John Huber, Luke Harper in WWE, known as Brody Lee in AEW most recently,
Just saw him wrestle his last match a couple months ago against Cody Rhodes. Didn't know it was going to be his last match. He's been gone for a while dealing with a lung issue not related to COVID that ended up taking his life, unfortunately, at the age of 41. So another young person that we lost, or relatively young. And we've lost some other legends that are older this past year as well. Eddie Van Halen, Regis Philbin, and the list...
The country singer.
Charlie Pride.
Yeah.
The African-American country singer.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
I mean, the list goes on and on. I Googled it, and there was like 100 names or more. So a lot of people we lost. Obviously, some of those older. Marianne from Gilligan's Island. I believe her name's Dawn Wells. She passed away, and that was COVID-related at 82. But we lost a lot of people, old and young, this year. And it was not an easy year. You know, people like Kobe Bryant, people like a Chadwick Boseman, those are basically legends in their
respective fields.
Yeah, it was tough. It was like losing a Michael Jackson that we lost several years ago to the music world, and what he meant is what Kobe was to basketball, or what Chadwick was becoming to acting. He was still really growing as an actor, and very talented, very kind man off screen from everybody who's dealt with him. So it was tough to deal with those. But we do have hope that 2021 will be better. Here on Four Quarters with Josh McKinney, we hope to continue to improve. We are trying out a new microphone this week for the first time.
Yep.
So if you hear anything that sounds weird,
we're working on it.
Yeah. We are aware. It's been very different. We actually recorded. This was the first segment we recorded for this episode. And
but this is our second take, because the first one, she was a mess.
We had some good content, but unfortunately, dealing with learning the mic levels and where things need to be set has proven to be a challenge, so we're trying to work that out. We hope that it does sound clear to you as the listener. We know you've come to expect a certain amount of quality from us, and we're going to try to keep delivering on that and improving as we go along. This is episode 31. We did 30 last year, started in April, took the last 4 weeks of 2020 off.
Yep.
If you haven't listened to our last episode, it was very fun. Christine joined me for that one as well. It came out on December 2nd, the one about Christmas movies, as we ranked our top five Christmas movies. We'll have a Ranky Panky for you again here just momentarily. We've got new segments coming along. Ranky Panky has been a fun one for people. Another fan favorite has been the fantasy draft segments we do. Happily Ever Drafter is the name of that one.
And we have more on the way. We're currently trying to come up with another kind of game type segment. I'm working on trying to come up with that sound effect. You know, something kind of fun, maybe a little cheesy. And hopefully we'll have some new things rolling out to you this year. We're not really sure exactly how many episodes we're going to have. We're not really sure which weeks or which holidays or whatever we're going to take off. But count on us pretty much every Wednesday. Otherwise, we'll have some good stuff for you. This year, I know for me, most of the real big bad things that have happened have really been more of just inconveniences rather than like super huge life-altering things. I work in a really specific industry. I may have mentioned it before, but I would rather not repeat myself. I work in like an office environment, and some of the things that my customers have come in and have been having to deal with, some of the things we've had to help them with, you know, their frustrations. Really, we have been just inconvenienced by this virus and by 2020. I'm very lucky and I'm very blessed that myself, my immediate family, I mean, from what I know, even my extended family, my husband, my dog, we're all still alive. We're all still healthy. And the vacation or two or whatever we had planned this year that got messed up, like they were just one or two little things that we could just skip right over. I didn't lose any loved ones. Like, I didn't lose my job. I didn't lose, you know, our power didn't get cut off. Just all the bad stuff were inconveniences for us. And I'm so grateful that that's only what they were. If you had a tough year, you know, we are thinking about you. We don't necessarily know every single person that listens, but cumulatively, like, we care about you guys. I hope that this next year will be better for you. And hopefully we can bring you some more lighthearted content, some more fun stuff, and let's just keep pounding. Let's keep driving, and let's see what else we got for you in store.
But yeah, as Christine said, there have been some minor inconveniences for us, and we had a couple of vacations that didn't go as planned due to COVID or weather-related events in the case of our December vacation that we took, but...
And hang on, let me back up. Let me just say, we don't vacation all year round. Like, we try to go around our anniversary, and then we might take a weekend trip sometimes, so we are blessed to even have that much, but... Yeah, our December trip, it snowed, it was beautiful, but it was pretty bad.
Yeah, but thankfully we made it there and back safely. We are at home and bringing you this podcast, and we have gotten to spend a lot more time together throughout 2020, which has been the biggest pro to me. I've gotten to spend more time with our dog Cooper as well, as I've been working from home for my job. But speaking of the podcast, got some guests we're trying to get on that we're in discussions with, some lower profile guests, more like myself, and then some higher profile people that if I do finalize those and get those recorded for future episodes, I'll try to start giving you clues and hints about who it is so you can have a little fun trying to guess them.
And I'm trying to convince Josh that the listener who can guess who the special guest is, we would love to either shout you out or even have you on the podcast for a segment or for a game of your choosing. So hopefully we can make that happen. But we got some good stuff planned, some interviews that may just put us on a larger map. So fingers crossed for that.
And so that basically does it for the Full Court Press portion of the show. Just a short reflection on 2020, which we now want to put in the rear view, as a lot of people do. And we're moving into 2021 now. We're here on the first Wednesday in 2021, and we want to have a little fun now. And so for our final segment of this week's show, it's time for a little ranky-panky. All right, so... To explain how this works, if you're just tuning in for the first time in 2021, it's very simple. Me and a guest will rank a top five of something. We'll have a certain amount of honorable mentions that we'll also talk about, but we just count down a top five of something. This week, we're going to be discussing our top five favorite Jim Carrey movies. And this came about, we were watching a Watch Mojo video of the top 10 unscripted moments. Basically ad-libs by Jim Carrey that ended up making it into some of his movies. And Watch Mojo, we love. You can spend hours just watching the videos they come out with each and every day. So for today, you know, Jim Carrey will be turning 59, if you can believe that, in less than 2 weeks.
Yep.
So that's kind of hard to believe. But he has a wide catalog of movies at this point. Has been... very popular since the mid-90s, really, is when he started his ascension and has...
He did comedic history. Yeah,
and became one of my favorite actors, one of your favorite actors, Christine.
He's like an actor of our childhood, even though a lot of his movies are like, kind of like not exactly child-friendly, but like, it was the 90s, it was the early 2000s. Our parents were like, yeah, this is fine. So he truly is... If there was going to be a comedic Mount Rushmore, he would be on it for me. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I think you would have to put him up there with someone like a Robin Williams,
who
we unfortunately lost tragically.
A few years ago.
I always put those two up there. I don't know who else you would put in that category, but those are two for sure that are up there.
Yeah.
Always been a huge fan of Jim Carrey and his movies, so this was hard, but also a lot of fun to think about. And I have several honorable mentions I want to talk about. First of all, could have put several more on here, but I would have been talking about every movie. So, first of all, from 1997, the movie Liar Liar. It's been a while since I've seen it, just as it's been a while since I've seen some of these older movies he's done. The premise is that he can't tell a lie.
He's a lawyer who can't tell a lie.
Yeah, so... Yeah, that's the premise. There are some, as you said, there's some adult situations
in
this. But in the end, I think there's a good message that, you know, you should be honest and truthful.
It's really about family. There's this whole underlying family line where he's, like, pursuing this big career. But, like, he's leaving his little boy And like the now, I guess, ex-wife that he really actually loved, like he's been leaving him behind. And so, yeah, it's a good one. There's some serious and heartfelt moments, but Jim Carrey's physical comedy in that movie really, really is a prime example of his comedic style, I think.
Yeah, and Jim Carrey's known for his physical comedy. He's known for being very over the top in a lot of his movies. That's really just his style that he has that you don't see from very many other actors.
Yeah, and I read in an interview that the way that he got so good at those silly faces and just like ways he could just contort his face and just look silly and sound silly is he would just stand in front of the mirror and just practice. As crazy as that sounds, he would just stand in the mirror and practice. And so as a kid, I remember when I read that or I learned that, I was like, well, I'm going to be hilarious too. So like I did it a little, but obviously I'm no Jim Carrey. So he's the champ.
Yeah. So like I said, Liar Liar from 1997 is my first honorable mention. My next honorable mention is Fun with Dick and Jane from 2005. Christine, I made you watch this with me maybe this year or very recently. It hasn't been too long. I keep saying this year. Obviously, we're in 2021 now, so I'm going to have to get used to that. But it was actually last year, I believe, when we watched it. But I'd seen it several years ago. Basically, I believe Jim Carrey like loses his job. Maybe his wife loses her job as well somehow, or they need money. They're very short on money, and so they start going out and robbing banks and convenience stores and things like that. It sounds like a very dark kind of thing, but
it is. But there's still a little comedy.
Yeah, certainly a lot of comedy. Things go wrong for them. Hijinks. They continue to find themselves in worse and worse situations, but in the end, yeah, it is kind of sad, but a lot of funny situations, and it's funny to me. I don't know. Some people may not like it, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
The next one is a more family-friendly option, and that's Mr. Popper's Penguins from 2011. I read this book when I was in school, and I own it, I believe, but really enjoyed it, and Jim Carrey plays Mr. Popper, who has a whole crate of penguins that end up at his door, has to take care of them, and he's a single father.
He's trying to like hide it from his kids or hide it from like the mom or babysitter.
Yeah, and a lot of cute scenes in this movie. Like I said, it's much more family-friendly option for you if you're looking for something like that. Really enjoyed it. Heartwarming and all those adjectives. The final honorable mention is, I believe, Jim Carrey's newest movie, where he plays the villain. Came out 2020, Sonic the Hedgehog. John Ralphio from Parks and Rec plays the voice of Sonic. There are some other well-known actors and actresses in this film, but Jim Carrey as the villain is his over-the-top best, and obviously this movie is cheesy. It surpassed my expectations, to be honest. It was better than I thought it was going to be.
It had many improvements because the animators remastered or redid Sonic's face, which I think in the beginning, it was real creepy, and people had an outcry that Sonic looked creepy, and so they fixed it, and it was better to look at. His character plays the evil genius Dr. Eggman, they say his name different. He doesn't look like the traditional Sonic villain that, you know, we grew up hating, I guess, in the video games. But you can tell he's got the funny mustache, and he's got the whole big-headed, like, evil genius thing, so.
Yeah, and if you've seen Sonic, or if you haven't, make sure you stay tuned. I believe there's a mid-credit scene or an after-credit scene, one or the other, which pretty much sets up a sequel to this movie. Won't spoil that for you if you haven't seen it. But make sure you stay tuned for that if you do choose to watch Sonic the Hedgehog. Christine, what are your honorable mentions?
I have Yes Man and The Truman Show. It was hard. I love almost all Jim Carrey movies just about equally. But good scenes in Yes Man. Good little lessons there. Same thing for The Truman Show. Yesterday in our first attempt at recording, I had made the statement that besides the ethical and like moral problems that keeping an adult or keeping a human captive for entertainment purposes poses, The Truman Show is, I love it so much. Like, but could you imagine if that was a reality? Like, how, oh my God, there was people protesting, obviously, in the movie, but just the whole movie is kind of like a big screaming example of breaking down the fourth wall. Like, kind of literally for Truman and figuratively, because they had him boxed into this world, into this kind of universe. So I really like the Truman Show. That's kind of like my number one honorable mention.
Gotcha. And that leads me perfectly into number five, since my number five is the Truman Show. I'll talk about Yes Man later. But the Truman Show, actually, before I ever saw this movie, which came out in 1998, I was 8 years old at that point. I did not see it until a little later in life than that. But I used to actually pretend like I was in a 24-hour TV show, and my whole life was just on screen. I would sing. I made up songs, like in the shower or whatever. Kind of weird that people would be watching me on TV in the shower. But I would, you know, play basketball outside and pretend like it was being broadcast to the world, and like I was playing like a Duke North Carolina game or an NBA game or something. Or I'd play football and throw the ball up to myself and pretend I was on TV. So yeah, weird things like that. But just to say that, yeah, the Truman Show is number five on my list, and some very funny moments. And yeah, it's very unique the way it was done.
My number five is a movie that I had on my Christmas list, and it was A Christmas Carol, Jim Carrey's Disney collab there, where he played, I mean, all the characters were animated to look like him, to appear like him, but also he voiced like four or five of the different characters, all with their differences, but still, like, you could tell it was him. Tom Hanks did the same thing with Polar Express, you know, years ago, where he was several of the different characters, or they were modeled after him and his features. But A Christmas Carol, just timeless. I don't watch it all year round, obviously. I'm not that big of a Christmas nerd. But I think it was a beautiful rendition. There's some scary parts. There's funny parts. You really reflect on your life. And I think Jim Carrey was a great choice for that casting.
Yeah, and people know the story very well of A Christmas Carol. It's been done time and time again, but that one of the newer versions of that story that Jim Carrey was in, and like you said, played a lot of different roles. Number four, we'll go back to 1994, which Jim Carrey actually had three blockbuster hits in 1994. The first one I'm going to talk about at number four is The Mask. And this is where he ends up with the green mask that gives him superpowers and added confidence. He beats up a lot of bad guys. He has Cameron Diaz in one of her early roles as his love interest in the film. Gets out of some sticky situations throughout the movie. Has a lot of hilarious parts. I always remember the smoking line from
smoking.
That yeah, that was better. But but yeah, it's a lot of classic moments, and a movie that I haven't seen in a while, but do remember seeing it several times as a child. Need to probably pull it out again and watch it.
Yep, that's on my list somewhere. My number four again, sorry y'all, another Christmas movie, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. It's 20 years old. To me, it's timeless. Like, I forget that it's 20 years old. Just a great version. I mean, every little detail in the movie, like, looked so good. I mean, the digital parts, like, where they were zooming into the snowflake. I mean, it still just looks so good. I got to play Cindy Lou Who in one of our high school performances. We at the end of each year, we would do a big musical-type showcase at the end of the year. And my senior year, we did Horton Hears a Who and then added in some other Dr. Seuss characters and Dr. Seuss scenes. So we had added in the Grinch. I got to play Cindy Lou Who. I had my hair real crazy looking, all piled up on top of my head, and you know, I had the cute little pink pajamas and everything. Got to sing Where Are You Christmas. Also, this is on my list because Cindy Lou Who is played by the lead singer of one of my current favorite bands, The Pretty Reckless, Taylor Momsen. I think I've talked about her and her music before, their newest hit. It's called Death by Rock and Roll. You will be stunned because it looks like Cindy Lou Who, but like she definitely ain't Cindy Lou Who no more. So that's my number four, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas.
Yep, absolutely. Two Christmas classics there on your list at 5 and 4. Number three for me is another classic that I mentioned from 1994. I had The Mask from 94. The first Ace Ventura came out in 94, which did not make my list. But the third film from 1994 for Jim Carrey is Dumb and Dumber, which is my number three. Was actually on TV last night. I watched a little bit of it, but that's another one I need to pull out and watch again. Because I remember we went and saw the sequel, I believe, in theaters, which came out 20 years after the original in 1994. Not as good, but still some very funny parts because Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels just play off of each other so well. They have such great on-screen chemistry as Harry and Lloyd. And, you know, you've obviously got the iconic scene of Jim Carrey doing the most annoying sound in the world.
He completely made that up. The directors, when they hire, I mean, whenever the casting, you know, crew hires Jim Carrey, like they know he's going to improvise something and he's going to improvise a lot. But that scene where he's like, when he has the most annoying sound in the world and then makes that terrible sound, that was completely made up. No, that wasn't in the script. He completely made it up. And you can see Harry kind of bust out laughing. He was not prepared for that. So that was an authentic laugh. And that was a good example of like one of the funniest scenes completely off the dome for him.
Another scene I always remember from that that's been turned into a meme now is the "So You're Saying There's a Chance" thing when Jim Carrey's trying to woo the woman, so to speak. And obviously, if you've seen the movie, you know it's called Dumb and Dumber for a reason. These guys are not smart. But just a hilarious movie.
Yep. For me, my number three movie is Bruce Almighty, which kind of spawned a follow-up or kind of a sequel-ish of Evan Almighty. But I have Bruce Almighty. Again, good Jim Carrey work there. Not really child-friendly, but it has Morgan Freeman. I mean, come on, he plays God. I really like this lesson in that movie. Again, some funny, like, adult humor throughout. And really kind of makes you think, well, whether you believe in God or not, I really wouldn't exactly want his job. So, you know, take that for what you will.
Yeah, definitely a good message there. And it is my number two, so it leads me right into that. It's from 2003. And a lot of great moments in this movie. It was in contention for my number one spot for sure. It's a movie that if I'm not watching anything else on TV and it's on, I'm probably going to watch it if I'm not doing anything else, just because really enjoy the movie. It's got Jennifer Aniston as the love interest, another big name in there. And like you said, the legendary Morgan Freeman playing God. Jim Carrey, you know, the iconic "I've got the power" scene. You know, he's pretty much drunk with power for a while and trying to make his own life better. Eventually, tries to start making other people's lives better and realizes how difficult it is to obviously be God and kind of play God for a while.
It took me a few years to kind of understand. I mean, I didn't watch this movie constantly, but I mean, I've seen it a few times in my life. But it took me a few years to realize, like, after he kind of lassos the moon and pulls it in to try and, you know, make the moon all big and sexy and bright, like, you know, while he's trying to woo Grace, is Jennifer Aniston's character, which is ironic, of course. But the next day, there's like turmoil and chaos on the other side of the world because the ocean's tides have changed. The moon literally changing its location caused complete turmoil on the other side of the earth. That makes complete scientific sense, because the waves in the ocean are kind of caused by the gravitational pulls between Earth and Moon and everything. And so if the Moon moves, to me that just made complete sense, because you're like, oh, cool, like he lassoed the Moon and made it big and bright. I mean, he literally erased stars from the sky. Well, he didn't literally. We know, you know what I mean. He erased stars from the sky. You wouldn't think, oh, like everything else is fine. No, there were repercussions to every single action that he did. Like when he answered everyone's prayers, yes. And I mean, most of them were lotteries. and everybody only got like $2 or $3 or whatever. That's just simple math and science. So, yeah.
Yeah, so we've got Bruce Almighty at number 3 for you and number 2 for me. What have you got at number 2?
I have Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. I'm not really going to pick one or the other. I really like them both. We obviously know the sequel is more recent. My dad, my stepdad, Brant, he worked on the Ace Ventura films. I think it was the first one. Part of it was filmed in South Carolina. It was a scene where they were running through the jungle, or he's being chased by like the African tribe, and they're chasing him through a jungle. And that was actually filmed in South Carolina, and they just like placed tropical plants, and they placed plants out in the woods to kind of make it look more appropriate to that region. So I think he worked on that movie. He worked for a company that I think either rented out or like used equipment for film. And so I think he said he got to meet Jim Carrey, but obviously it was really fast, just for one moment. He actually has a YouTube channel called In My Head, where he reviews Kiss videos, music. I mean, it just everything Kiss. He has memorabilia. He has records. He has games. He has blank. I mean, he has tons of stuff. So you guys, if you like the band Kiss, go check him out. It's In My Head. That's my dad. We'll have him on as a guest probably this year. Josh knows a little bit more of his sports flavors, but he worked on Ace Ventura, and we should have him on sometime this year to do a little collab. And maybe you'll get to see Josh on his YouTube channel.
Yeah, you'd be hard-pressed to find a bigger Kiss fan than him. He does some other things as well, but mostly a Kiss-centered channel. Does a great job, continues to grow. And so, yeah, looking forward to having him on sometime in 2021. For sure. The Ace Ventura movies, the first one came out in 1994. The second one was actually a year later in 95. I believe it's called When Nature Calls. But those are the two Ace Ventura movies. And classics, again, have not seen it in a long time. And so probably need to see it and see, hey, maybe this was good enough to crack my list. But going off of what I can remember and what I've seen more recently, left it off mine, but definitely a good choice there at number 2, which leads us to number 1. You mentioned it earlier on your honorable mention, 2008, Yes Man. And I feel like my top 2 picks may cause some controversy because they are more recent movies, and on most of the list I look at, not as highly rated as some of the other older movies that Jim Carrey's done. Or one that was number 1 on a lot of lists was The Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, which, as I understand, it's a more serious role for Jim Carrey, but is very highly rated. I believe it's on Netflix. We're going to have to check it out. But my number 1 is Yes Man, and if it causes controversy, I'm sorry. I love the movie. And Bruce Almighty, for me, I own both of those films. And basically, he goes to a conference. He's a guy who always says no to everything, but ends up coming out of the conference saying yes to everything, which causes some big issues down the road. But also, I think, has the message that, yes, while you shouldn't say no to everything, in the end, you probably shouldn't say yes to everything either. But also, don't be afraid to try new things. I mean, he learns to play the guitar. He talks a man off the ledge, literally, while playing his guitar. Got some great songs in there. Really enjoy the soundtrack of Yes Man as well. Bradley Cooper was in that movie about a year before he did The Hangover, which is really his breakout role that people remember with that great cast. But other great, you know, Zoe Deschanel, who is quite a bit younger than Jim Carrey, but plays his love interest in the movie and does a great job with her role as well. Just a solid cast all around and a lot of great moments. And again, adult situations, be warned, but very funny.
Yep. And to wrap things up, my number 1 is The Mask. Even though it was, you know, it came out the year after I was born, it just is so funny to me. As we loved The Mask as kids. A lot of the jokes went way over our head, but his kind of comedy there, like, again, physical comedy, a lot of the jokes, the funny voices, like, we just loved him. We loved The Mask. We loved the little dog, Milo. I mean, we obviously talk about our dog Cooper all the time, so we're pet people. Another cool fact, I guess, if you didn't know, the mask was supposed to have belonged to the Norse deity Loki, who is kind of mischievous brother of Odin's sons. And let me just say, I have a goal sometime in my life to learn that, like, salsa or that dance that he, like, distracts the cops with. I have a goal to learn that. There was a couple people who did it on TikTok. They did so good, and their outfits look so good. But that dance looks so fun. So maybe I'll teach myself that one day. But that's my number one, the mask.
Yeah, and the movie's not a cartoon movie, mm-hmm. but it has some cartoonish moments, like his heart just beating way out of his chest.
Yeah.
It's a hilarious moment from that. Great pick there, and great list for both of us. Just going through mine first. 5-1. The Truman Show, The Mask, Dumb and Dumber, Bruce Almighty, and then Yes Man at number one.
For me, 5-1, A Christmas Carol, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, Bruce Almighty, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, and The Mask.
So yes, thank you, Jim Carrey, for all of your great work over the years.
If by chance you ever hear this, yeah. We doubt it, but we love you.
Hope you continue to churn out great films for us for many years to come, however long you want to continue acting. I know has been on Saturday Night Live recently, playing Joe Biden, is now done with that, he says, but has also been in some classics from Saturday Night Live over the years as well. Just anywhere he goes, just a hilarious guy. And yeah, just a lot of great movies, even ones that we didn't mention. He has done pretty much everything. I mean, he has been great on screen for 2.5 decades yep. or more now at this point, which is, you know, the bulk of our lifetimes. So thanks, Jim Carrey. Thanks to everyone for listening to the first episode of Four Quarters with Josh McKinney here in 2021. Very excited to bring you the show each Wednesday. As Christine said, we'll take some periodic breaks here and there for a week or two, but plan to be here with you most Wednesdays in 2021. Can't wait to see what's in store. As I said, I teased the fact that we've got some guests lined up. We're trying to finalize things and hope to make a couple of these big guests happen down the line. Got some fun things in the works for you. She said a new segment idea that's coming very, very soon. But thanks, Christine, for joining me today on the show. Always love having you on, and you are the easiest guest for me to get.
Yep.
Obviously, we live together.
Yep.
And so thank you. I always enjoy your insight and our list and the drafts we do, all the fun that we have together, both on the show and behind the scenes working on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And you guys know what to do. Let us know your rankings, your top five, or a few of your favorite Jim Carrey movies or his favorite moments. Follow us. We are on Podbean, iTunes, Spotify, etc. Everywhere you can find a podcast, you can find us. Share us. We obviously talk about more than just sports sometimes. You can follow Josh on Twitter. What's that handle?
@SuperJMac32. And then also on Facebook, just Four Quarters with Josh McKinney page. We're continuing to try to grow things. Still small, but have grown pretty well since we started. The more recent episodes have been rising in the amount of listenership we've gotten. So pleased with that. It's continued to rise even while we're taking this 4-week holiday break, which was much needed, I will say. But hopefully we can get back in the swing of things here in 2021.
Yep.
On Four Quarters with Josh McKinney.